If I consulted with quadrupeds, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe lunch with two or three lions, walruses or sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be.
Hi, this is Mike Fry, Executive Director at Animal Ark Animal Shelter and host of Animal Wise Radio. This week, I've been thinking a lot about animal intelligence and sometimes the human lack of it. As scientists search the cosmos for intelligent life, using everything from spaceships and telescopes to radio waves, I wonder if they would even recognize it if it jumped up and slapped them in the face. There is, after all, a host of intelligent life here on Earth that we know almost nothing about. I guess it really should come as no surprise that humans place themselves at the top of the intellectual pyramid relative to every other living thing on the planet. I mean, this is just the sort of thing that people do. And I'm guessing that if maybe barn owls, for example, were doing the judging, that barn owls might end up at the top of the heap too. People always seem to think that whatever group they belong to, it's got to be the best one. Teenagers think they know more than adults. Adults know they're better off than their offspring. Superiority battles are similarly drawn over demographics such as gender, religion, race, sexual orientation, and virtually every other factor from which people can create a definable group in which to include themselves, and of course exclude others. The battle of the sexes seems almost universal, as are many others, leading me to conclude that this superiority complex is somehow hardwired in our species. It's like it's built right in, part of the hardware, so to speak. Humans have used all kinds of irrational logic to support our superiority to other creatures' belief. Everything from our opposable thumbs to our use of tools and our ability to communicate with each other. Upon closer inspection, however, these arguments just don't hold water. After all, if opposable digits were a measure of intelligence, wouldn't it follow that monkeys and apes are superior to humans because they have opposable thumbs and toes? As humans began learning more about the tool-making abilities of other species, for everything from food collection to nest building, we had to downplay this whole tool discussion, relying more heavily on our ability to communicate. But current research has been finding more evidence of complex communication taking place in other species, kind of putting a damper on that argument, too. Take Coco the gorilla that learned American Sign Language and eventually adapted her own version known as Gorilla Sign Language, or GSL. It turns out that she was able to learn sign language easily because wild gorillas have a natural gestural language of their own. This gestural language, oddly enough, contains many gestures and expressions that have been found to be universal in human cultures, suggesting that communication is a skill we developed before we were even people. Has any of this newfound information affected the way people see themselves in relationship to other animals? Overall, probably not, because the human desire for superiority is not about data or information. After all, humans declared our lofty position thousands of years ago based on pure speculation and conjecture and without really understanding much about the other species that share the planet. There are countless undocumented species currently sharing our world about which we know basically nothing, yet we've chosen to teach our kids that we clearly know better than all of them. Perhaps someday the study of animal intelligence will evolve to a point where humans have a clear and objective method for knowing what's going on in the lives of other species. Until that day, I think it's more accurate for people to admit that, in effect, we really have no clue, and that any claim of superiority to other species is driven simply by human vanity.
Yeah, that was a piece we produced for Animal Radio Network, which is one of our broadcasting partners. So that was kind of fun, thinking all about animal intelligence.
Well, I think we've kind of had an interesting look at it from a different angle earlier in this hour, where we're talking about wild and exotic animals being kept as pets and in really deplorable conditions, basically sticking them out in a corn crib, for example, where they have none of the things that they need to stimulate their very intelligent brains. And it kind of causes a lot of aberrant behavior over time. Go right. figure. Is that a surprise?
I've kind of come to the conclusion that people think that we're above other animals because we think we can control them. That when we can control them, i.e. we talked earlier, the first segment of the show, about shooting them, about keeping them as pets, we can confine them. If we can control them, then we're better than them. And I think that that's what our very simplistic brains do. And so that's how we come to that, I think.
Well, I think there's this other part of human nature that you touched on, Mike, where we desperately want to have control, but then we kind of think that we can change behavior by just loving them. Just, you know, if we give them enough love, they're going to come around, and I'll never get bitten by that big old primate I got in my backyard.
Or my lion won't eat my face off if I just love it enough.
Right. Well, we just did a animal news item where a dog bit his owner's
primates.
So, I mean, let's make the leap that a tiger is probably going to bite
More than that. More than that, yes. Yeah, going back, I have to tell, this is kind of a silly story, but I just remember way back when I was in high school, I volunteered at Como Zoo, and they had hired a new receptionist who didn't speak English. Telephone receptionist. Her name was, I forget, I won't say. But while I was there, somebody called who had a pet lion, two lions, and the lioness had the husband pinned to the basement floor and wouldn't let him up.
And what can you do for me? She's asking the receptionist who can't speak English.
Yeah. And so, I mean, over the history of my days working with animals, the numbers of situations like that I've seen or encountered have just been...
You can't count them, can you?
I cannot count them. I just can't even begin to it. And to think that we're going to bring these animals into our home and think they're going to behave like our domesticated dogs and cats and rabbits is just absolutely, you know, insane.
And enjoy living in a little cage.
Yeah, and that people who do that claim that we are the superior beings, we're the thinking ones because we can control the environment. Maybe the wild animals who have learned to live in harmony with the environment and live in harmony with the ecosystems, who aren't causing global warming all over the planet, maybe they're the evolved ones. You know, just maybe.
That could be.
You never know. We'll be back with more Animal Wise Radio after this.
Close my eyes and just pretend there's shelter in this song. Like a river flowing home. Oh, there's a fire burning inside me. Makes the